Blog Talk Radio.
This is Trevor Ariza with the Phoenix Suns, and you're in the cave with PLR.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Cave Show. This is PLR, and thank you for joining us today. We have a stacked show today to get into. We're going to be talking about the Steelers. It looked like world beaters last night. Completely looked like world beaters last night. They beat the crap out of the Panthers, and we'll get into that. The Phoenix Suns found all new ways to break our hearts. I guess the way they were doing it just wasn't working for them. So we'll definitely get into that as well. We have some news with the Sun Devils Senior Day. So we're definitely going to talk Senior Day with them, or about them. Last home game for Herm and the boys this year. Season went fast. And the Cubs are open to trading Chris Bryant. Everyone is on the block? Wow. More stuff that we'll get into as well. Like I said, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. And we are coming to you live today from Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get on down here. Get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Just let them know that PLR sent you down here, and you are good to go. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never, ever worry about your sticks going bad. Sit down, relax, watch one of the many televisions that's on. There is always a game on here. So come down, relax. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights, 4991 South Alma School to be exact. And let them take care of you with the best cigar selection in the valley. You know, in that promo, I almost forgot to mention, it is Football Pick Friday. So I will be giving you all your winners. So it's up to you if you just college game, pro game, got some NBA. Actually, if you live in the Phoenix area, PIR is doing some auto racing this weekend. So it is 100% loaded. I do want to jump right in, though, and I do want to start with the NFL. And you know what? Actually, let me take that back. I want to start by saying at 1:15, we have former NBA star Stephen Hunter calling in to talk some hoops with us. Now let's jump into football. Let's get right to those games from last night. And what Pittsburgh did to Carolina was just not right. They jumped on him early, often, and they didn't stop. It's almost like Pittsburgh is sending that message that Kansas City, everyone's talked about New England, everyone's talked about all these other teams. Steelers. To the season. And I mean a terrible start. They tied Cleveland. Kansas City came into Pittsburgh. They played like they couldn't stop Kansas City at all. And just had all kinds of troubles. The defensive Their defensive backfield was terrible. They weren't getting any rushes on the quarterback to start the season. Everything Pittsburgh was doing was bad. Le'Veon Bell was holding on, and everything was just foul with them. Like I said, you tie to start the season. You lose to Kansas City, everyone beats Tampa Bay. But then you lose to Baltimore, your hated rival, and you look anemic in the second half playing them. And then the Falcons come in and you get that get-right game. And then they get the Bengals, who they always beat. And then Cleveland came in and was like, yeah, it's time to shut them back up. Then you get Baltimore back and you handle Baltimore. Don't let that 23-16 score fool you. The game was really never that close. And then Carolina comes to town and looks like it's going to be a playoff team, and they just completely handle business. So it definitely looks like Pittsburgh is back to being the Pittsburgh Steelers again. And what makes it so important is they have to win some games because, look, I know the real Steelers when they played Kansas City. And Kansas City, I honestly, I don't know how many more games they're going to lose this year. But you don't have to go and play if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's too much, and that's too much for just about anyone to have to try to go through. And the Steelers definitely do not want to go that route. And so the only way to not go that route is to get a playoff game in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. And you do that by winning these games, by sending messages to teams that look like they're going to be playoff teams. Now, in 3 weeks, they have New England coming to town. And that game's going to go a long way to say the exact same thing. Where are they and where do they stand? New England is 7-2. Pittsburgh is 6-2-1. Houston is 6-3. And Kansas City is 8-1. There's nothing that says Pittsburgh can't still get the overall best record in the AFC, but it's a hard fight because you, in essence, have to make up 3 games, not just 2 on Kansas City, because not only did you lose to them, but in essence, you're a game down because of the tie. But if they can beat New England, which is not always the easiest thing to do when you're Pittsburgh, that at least puts you in a driver's seat against that team. And last year, you can't tell me it would have been different if New England had to come to Pittsburgh. I'm not saying Pittsburgh wins, but I think that game would have had a whole different meaning and a whole different way that the game would have been played. Hell, the first game actually kind of led to the rule change of the way football and touchdowns are caught and possessed when you're going over the goal line. I mean, we can go all the way back to when that stupid rule started and the first person to be victimized for it, to my smile, when the Detroit Lions scored a touchdown on the Chicago Bears. Had a touchdown, but he was ruled off. Happened to Dez Bryant when he was with the Cowboys and they played the Packers. And so things are going to be different. But you can go back to that game, the game that really started out saying, hey, this has been a victory for a very long time. Sorry for the interruption there, but yeah, nothing could be done, and Carolina played the game as nothing could be done. So you absolutely have to love the way they handled that game. Football picks. I want to get to some of these football picks. We got some really good games this weekend. And let's start with the game that affects all of us living here in Arizona. The Cardinals are going to go to Kansas City. The Cardinals are about a 38-point dog. No, I'm just kidding. The Cardinals are a dog in this game. They are a 16.5-point dog. Folks, take Kansas City. Rarely do I start with the home game first and picking games, but I am this time since we are based out of Phoenix. I don't see any way possible for the Cardinals to defeat the Chiefs. I really, truly don't. I just don't see how it happens. The Cardinals to beat the Chiefs will probably have to score at least 40 points. I don't think the Cardinals could score 40 points if they were allowed to take the field now by themselves. Kansas City in the walkover. Saints and Bengals. Listen, this is a dangerous game. They're coming off a high of beating the Rams. But now they're on the road. And the Bengals aren't world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, that game is outside. And it could be a little chilly. Now, I'm not saying New Orleans is going to win. I usually don't go points, but if you bet on, do I love? I don't know. I think Matt Ryan gets a. But these are the Browns. Take. Patriots go to 10 and cornerback it. So out of the Super Bowl, Mr. Butler. There will be no one in the NFL on this Butler this weekend. Take the Patriots. Game, touch it. Last I checked, Blake Bortles is still the quarterback for the Jaguars. Take the Colts at home. Bills and the Jets. They got Anderson, they got Terrell Pryor. Take the Jets. Going to Tampa to play the Buccaneers. The Reds are impressive. The vision leader. The Chargers go to the Raiders. This is the Tampa game the Raiders win. And I don't pick the Chargers. Dolphins go to the Bay. Let me say that one more time. The Dolphins go to Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers, that's not happy about anything in life, it seems like, right now. I don't like this matchup for the Dolphins. Take Green Bay. Seahawks go to the Rams. Rams were embarrassed on television last week. The defense looked anemic. Seattle comes to town. They have Russell Wilson. And then they have take the Rams. Sunday night game, Cowboys at Eagles. Cowboys are mad. Heard Dak Prescott, oh, they're mad. They just stayed up. They're not happy with the way people are talking about them. Cowboys aren't happy. Oh, they're not happy. Yeah, well, they're not going to be happy at about 10 o'clock on Sunday night because the Eagles are going to win that game. The last Sunday game that I'm going to talk about, Lions go into Chicago. The Chicago Bears can put a chokehold on this division. It is their division now. They can show that this is their division to win or their division to lose. All they have to do is beat the Lions. And you know what? The Chicago Bears are going to do just that. They're going to beat the Detroit Lions. Roll with the Bears this Sunday. Now, I have to do it not because I want to, but it's on the schedule. The Giants play the 49ers on Monday night. Who cares? I mean, seriously, who cares? Other than the fact that you just like football, other than the fact you would just love football, do you really want to watch the Giants play the 49ers? Do the Giants want to watch the Giants play the 49ers? Do the 49ers want to watch the 49ers play the Giants? Earlier this week, the head coach, Mr. Shurmur of the Giants, came out and had to say Eli will be our starting quarterback. If he's coming out and telling you that Eli has to be or will be his starting quarterback, does that mean there was doubt in Eli being the starting quarterback? Will we see Eli this whole game? When do they wrap up with Eli? When is Eli a thing of the past? If you are a betting person, and you bet on this game, go get help. The Giants are so bad. Let me explain this to you. The Eli Manning, who, whether you want to believe it or not, will be a Hall of Fame quarterback. They have Odell Beckham. They have Saquon. They have Evan Ingram. They have Shepard. All of these offensive weapons. Against the Niners, who rolling out a rookie quarterback, Mr. Mullen, who threw his first real passes last week. And the Giants are still a dog to the Niners. If that doesn't say anything about your team, the message to your team and your organization, nothing will. You have all of those offensive stars, and you are a dog at home to win. Let me repeat this one more time. Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, Evan Ingram. You can talk about Eli Manning all you want, but it's still Eli Manning over Mullen. And you are a dog to the 49ers. There is just absolutely, positively no way that should happen. And you know what's crazy about it? I can take the Niners. I was saying, you got to take the Giants. You have to take the Giants, right? Do you have confidence that this team with all those offensive stars can do anything? And the answer is clearly, and it's obviously, no. And Vegas doesn't believe it either. The wise guys in Vegas don't believe it either. They're a dog to the Niners, and I'd say take the Niners.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
That has me so hot right now, I'm going to switch sports. We're going to talk a little basketball. The Suns broke my heart last night. And I know when you're in sports, you're never supposed to be biased. Never supposed to be biased. Everything's supposed to be straight down the middle. I'm not. I'm never just straight down the middle for a lot of things. I'm from Chicago. I love the Bulls. I love the Bears. I love the White Sox. I love the Blackhawks. Went to ASU. Love my Sun Devils. Now there are a lot of other teams I like, and the Suns are one of them. And he found a brand-new way for me to just bow my head last night and go. And on the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now where all calls are made, I have the great Stephen Hunter you know, his NBA career. A man used to get down. He's from Chicago, so of course he got down in the NBA. The one only Stephen Hunter live on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here with TLR. Hey, what's up, my man? How you feeling?
What's going on, Paul? Feeling great. How are you guys doing today?
You know what? I've got to ask you this because right now I'm a consumer. When you're playing a game in the NBA and you get blown out, is that easier to take or is it harder to get over when you had that game in hand and somehow you just let the team escape with the victory against you?
Yeah, I think the game yesterday is a little bit tougher to swallow than a lot of their losses this season. You know, the Suns played a great game all game long. They were outstanding. And to let it go like that, you know, just to get loose and comfortable, you know, with the basketball, turning the ball over, you know, horrible shots down the stretch, not rebounding. And to do it like that in front of a home crowd that was excited, and this would have been a great win for our young team. It was just heartbreaking for everybody.
You know something, that there's two things in that game that I noticed, and all cards on the table. I'm a big Igor fan. I think that rookie coaches, just like rookie players, they have things that they have to learn. But I thought Brad Stevens got him in some areas, especially in this one. With about 5-6 minutes left to go in the game, I saw him take Kyrie out. And it was right before a national TV. The next dead ball was going to be the national TV commercial, the one that lasts feels like an eternity. So he bought Kyrie about 6-7 minutes of rest time for about 40 seconds of game time. And I thought that was big because I remember looking over and, wow, I think they probably should take Book out for that same time. And it's little things like that, I think, that separates the Brad Stevens, the Pops, and those guys that make them so good because Kyrie was fresh down the stretch.
Yeah.
And the Suns played hard, but you could tell their legs were gone. Are little things like that that separate the great coaches from the other coaches?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sitting Kyrie down is a psychological thing because it allows their other players to get going. You know what you're going to get from Kyrie, but you don't want him necessarily in full gear in the third quarter or maybe even at the beginning of the fourth. You want him to have 110% energy within that last 6 minutes, you know. And that's what I thought that, you know, we didn't do exactly well. I don't think Book was very fresh down the stretch. I thought of a lot of our guys took bad shots, and Boston was just the opposite. You know, their guys were on. You know, Jaylen Brown hit some big shots. Marcus Morris, you know, obviously hit some big shots. Kyrie was able to come back in the game and finish strong. And yes, you know, that is the big difference. But you know, Brad Stevens, he knows his team. He knows his guys. They have a system. They've been playing together for a very long time. They're very experienced. They went deep into the playoffs last year. And, you know, the longer the game goes on, the better chance, the better team is going to come out on top. And, you know, that's exactly what happened last night.
Last night, Kyrie got going. And when Kyrie gets going, will always be there. What can you do when you're playing against a superstar and they're going downhill and the buzz, they're hitting everything, they're making the right passes to everyone, they're drawing all the attention? What can you do to try to slow them down and stop them?
That's a tough question. You know, obviously, you know, the first thing you want to say is get the ball out of their hands. But, you know, Kyrie is such a smart basketball player, and Brad Stevens is such a good coach that they have counters for pretty much everything. They got shooters, and underrated player is Marcus Morris. I loved him when he was with the Suns. He's a very versatile player. He can take you down on the post, and he can stretch you out to the three. So he supplies a bunch of versatility for the Celtics. And they just have weapons all around, man. Again, I think Boston is the second best team in the NBA besides the Golden State Warriors. They are a great team. And, again, they didn't shoot well the first half. They came into Phoenix thinking that Phoenix was gonna just lay down, and we didn't. And but, you know, fourth quarter, Stevens made some adjustments like he always does. You know, he's probably the best coach in our game. And, you know, the Suns' youth really showed that, you know, as a big man, that possession where they gave up like six offensive rebounds or something like that in a row, then gave up that three to Gordon Hayward. That was just a sign of like, that was just a sign of like, oh, okay, you guys don't want to win. Or you guys don't know how to win. Because in order to get a win against a team like that, you got to scratch and claw and fight and bite and have some type of hunger about you. They're not just going to lay down, you know. And that's what the Suns thought. They thought they got that big lead and, you know, the Celtics were going to just pack it up and pack it in. No, they're too great a team for that. And obviously, you know, it was a heartbreaking loss. I mean, I hope the young guys can learn from it. But, you know, last night was you know, definitely a game that I hope that they remember and I hope that they learn from.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line with us right here, the one and only Stephen Hunter. When you played in the NBA and you were playing against superstars like you played in days with Kobe and Bron and those guys. When you had them, you had them ropes, were you like, man, they're about to get more dangerous now than they were before we got them on the ropes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Paul. Like, the great ones, they know when winning time is, which is the last 6 minutes of the game. They can be down 15, 20 points. You're still playing against another NBA team with 12 great players on their team, professional basketball players. Anything can happen. Guys go on 17, 18, 20-0 runs all the time. Yeah, in terms of guys like Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and, you know, superstars on the Celtics, you know, playing against the Suns, that they weren't going to – the Celtics weren't going to pack it in. Suns are too young, and right now we're not as good of a team for – even if we do have a 20-point lead where teams are going to just – sit there, starters, and not attempt a comeback on us because, you know, they know that we're a very streaky, inconsistent young team and that we could possibly give it away or give in at any point. And the Celtics stayed the course. We helped them out a bunch. I mean, we helped them out a bunch. And it was a perfect storm of, you know, our youth, you know, bad shots, not rebounding, and the Celtics, you know, staying the course and getting a little bit more aggressive, getting a little bit more into the Suns and bringing a little bit more physicality into the game that allowed things to turn. And, you know, that's just our next step as an organization. We got to learn how to win. We got to get some guys on the floor together that have spent years playing together. Got to get a consistent system in place. You know, right now, you know, Suns, we have a hard time, you know, trusting one another because we haven't been playing with. We have, you know, almost five new guys on the court. So, you know, to beat a team like the Celtics, you got to finish the game. You got to trust each other, and you got to close the game out. And that's something we just didn't do.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here in the Cave for PLR, the one and only Stephen Hunter. Okay, so I'm going to mention some names to you. And then I'm going to ask you a question. McGuire, DePaul, Eddie Johnson, Illinois, Nick Anderson, Illinois. All these guys, Teddy Grubbs, Skip Dillard, all these guys are Chicago guys, and they went to DePaul, they went to Illinois, they stayed home. We are still the basketball headquarters in Chicago. Why can't we keep that at home now? Why is it going to Duke and to other schools out of the city? What happened to Chicago College basketball where we're losing all our homegrown talent?
And that's a good question, Paul. Well, I can speak for DePaul University, and I'll go ahead and say this. What made me go to Chicago was this coach named Coach Tracy Dildy. Coach Dildy is from Chicago. He went to King High School, and you know he's a homegrown Chicago guy, and he recruited me. Okay. And I think as far as DePaul, we need more assistant coaches and coaches that know these kids from a grassroots level who can relate to them because they're from Chicago, and you know get out to these games and speak to them. I think we got we have a coaching staff that is not embedded and doesn't have the heart of the city. You know, so, you know, I that's my opinion. I think we need to get more assistant coaches that are from the city that know how to recruit Chicago kids. Okay, last time I went to the DePaul game, I didn't recognize any of the players. We got guys from overseas. We got guys from, you know, different small towns around America and things like this. I'm like, what is this? Like, and so our city can't even relate to the team, you know. So you know, I know recruiting at places like Duke and Kentucky, you know, it's different. They are nationally, you know, they are national powers, and they can recruit from all over. But what we have to do is we have to get some of our best Chicago talent to stay. That way, the city will be more behind us. Okay, and then we'll get better attendance, and then we'll get more recognition amongst the high school players. And I think that all starts with getting assistant coaches who are from Chicago, who has been knowing these kids for a long time, and who can relate to them. We have to get a better recruiters that are from Chicago to attract more Chicago kids. That's my opinion.
So why aren't they hiring the DePauls in Illinois? Because back in the day, there is no way Derrick Rose gets out of Chicago. There's no way Jabari Parker gets out of Chicago. There's no way Okafor gets out of Chicago. Why not hire the Chicago guys like Jimmy Collins back in the day to get these kids to either stay at Illinois or go to DePaul? Why is that so difficult for the universities to do at this point?
And, you know, that's the million-dollar question, and I'm not sure, you know. But, yeah, man, but, you know, I do know that Mark McGuire attempted to become the coach at DePaul, and he lost out to the coach that is currently there. You know, we've had, you know, they could have reached out to me. They could have reached out to Quentin Richardson. They could have reached out to Tommy Kleinschmidt. They could have reached out to Stephen Howard, you know, all these Chicago greats, you know, they could have reached out to us and said, hey, we need you to come back, you know, help us out. They haven't reached back to us in terms of coaching and helping recruit. So I guess they just get with their own, you know, little, you know, groups and, you know, they recruit internally and they make the decisions that they feel necessary. But, you know, as a recent player, you know, someone who was recruited by DePaul, I wouldn't have went to DePaul just because Pat Kennedy was there. You know, I would never go to DePaul if Joey Meyer, Ray Meyer was there. I went to DePaul because I had a relationship with the assistant coach, and his name was Tracy Dildy. And he was from Chicago, and he related to me. He knew me. He followed me. Okay? So if you want Chicago kids to stay, you need to establish relationships with people that are like-minded with some of the kids that are being recruited. Does that make sense?
It makes all the sense in the world. I'm going to tell you something. You said Mark McGuire.
Yeah.
For those that know, they need to understand Mark was a freak of nature back before other people became freaks, because Mark with that body could go up and catch an alley-oop and could shoot and hit threes He just wasn't allowed to shoot three in the NBA game.
Mm-hmm.
The game was crazy game. And with some of the people that are going into the Hall of Fame now, it makes me wonder, did none of these guys see Mark McGwire play? Because he subjected his game in Detroit. Because that dude was a 29-point scorer down in Dallas when he was the number one overall pick.
Well, yep.
Maybe,
yeah, man. No, you're right, man. Mark had mad game. Mad game.
Yes, he did.
Mad game.
You are doing so much good stuff. I know you work with the Suns. I know you have all this other stuff, but you have a skills academy as well. Can you talk about what you're doing with your academy and all the good stuff you're doing around the Valley?
Yeah, so what we just started, myself and my team of coaches, we started the Stephen Hunter Basketball Skills Academy, and it takes place every Tuesday and Wednesday. On Tuesdays at 6:30, we are in Mesa at a private location, and I teach the class. It's for an hour and a half, and girls and boys, they come in, and I teach them the fundamentals of the game, and we also scrimmage at the end of our skills clinic. So we're getting skills training, and then we're also getting some controlled scrimmages in there so that the kids can, experience some game time. On Wednesdays, we are in the East Valley. Same deal. Kids ages 7 to 16 are welcome. And, again, we teach all the fundamentals. Myself and my two trusted coaches, we've been working together for a long time, and we train these kids from about 30 years of basketball experience that we all have. My NBA experience and my other two coaches, they both played in Europe. So we have a great program. We're very small, very exclusive, and we really focus on the fundamentals of the game, and we focus on making sure your child can be the best person and player he can be on and off the court. We mentor the kids. We show up at the kids' basketball games or club league games to watch them play, to see how we can make them better. And then once we get them in the gym, we work on those things that they're deficient in. Also on Saturdays, I do private trainings in Mesa, Arizona as well. You can find out all this information on my website. You just got to go to www.shbatraining.com. So that's www.shbatraining.com, and you can sign up for either my skill session or a private one-on-one session with myself.
Look, I swear by the sessions. I do. I'm all bought in. My eldest son loves your sessions, man. He thinks you are the best out there. I kid you not. I love going to camp. Coach Steve, he's gonna make me better.
That's my guy, Lil Paul. He has some game too, man. He's gonna be good. I'm telling you. Hello.
The one thing I love the most is that he gets humbled by some of the other kids, and that makes him really grow, because he swears up and down he can hit every jump shot in the world. But he's like, but Dad, I gotta find other things to do out there. I gotta play. I gotta figure the game out. So anyone out there, if you want your child to learn basketball fundamentally the right way, definitely get with Steve and get into his camps, because they will learn the game the right way. There's some teams out there, and I've coached kids before, Steve, and there are coaches that want them dribbling with 8 basketballs and doing all this stuff, and I'm like, that's great, but you can only play with one ball. So you can
that's
do
it.
All the fancy stuff, but you're not learning the game. And the one thing I love about your camp is that they learn the game, and anything that I ever can do to help promote it for you, I'm here, and I'll do that for you.
Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that. So, yeah, man, definitely looking forward to, you know, being back on the show and seeing you at the Suns game, man. It's always a good time.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming by today and giving a little bit of time. I really appreciate that.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Anytime, Paul. You know that.
All right, Steve. I will catch up with you. If I don't see you, well, I'll see you before Wednesday because you got a camp next week and you know who will be there.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right, I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, brother. Talk to you later. That is the one and only Stephen Hunter joined us live on the Cave Show on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Always good to catch up with him. I'm telling you, his camps are great. I swear by them. My son goes to his camp, so I'm not just saying it. I'm part of it. Like I said, today we are coming to you live from the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Again, I'm going to show my bias. Again, I've been a member at this club, and they've been a sponsor here on the Cave Show for about, goodness, 6 years, 7 years now. So, long time. I have a locker here. You cannot get a locker near mine. It's a special side of the room. I'm surrounded by wink, wink, locker. Not getting in my locker because it's very, very, very a priority locker, but there's still lockers available. So you can come down and maybe if you're nice, I'll think of something you can get within 10, 15 feet of mine. But anyway, all kidding aside, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, great place. I'm sitting here with the one and only Gabby, and she's going to tell you all the good stuff that's going on at Maduro's. Gabby, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Hi. It's always good to see you.
It's good to come back. I'm back home. I got my cord here.
That's right.
I got my locker there. I'm set. I sit at the same spot. I sit. I'm so excited I can't speak at the same spot all the time. It's good to be here.
Plus, you can always smoke a cigar.
As I'm doing. This is hard work today. I'm doing radio and smoking a cigar. Tough
life. That's right. Rough life, but somebody's got to do it. We have a lot of things going on. Today we have a informal cut and light event with the new AJ Fernandez reps. He wants to come in to introduce himself to everyone. He started with the company a couple months ago. Have a couple specials on all of the AJ Fernandez line. It'll be really fun. That's this Thursday at 1 p.m. But the big event this month is going to be the day before Thanksgiving. We're doing our annual Perdomo event, which is 4 p.m. on Wednesday the 21st. And the awesome thing about that day is starting at 4 p.m. we'll have all of the cigar specials, but we also do live music. We have a huge jazz and blues fan club here. Right. So we always have a live jazz music jamming in the back the whole time, excellent musicians, had some really fantastically talented individuals. And so you have, like, almost that old-school, like, smoky jazz club feel going back here, and the cigar specials going on up front, and the swag. So just a big old party, an excellent group of guys. And so if you're in the area, you want a big old party and some live music, come on down.
And I noticed you have a pipe, so
yes,
you can introduce some of the people if they come down and want to
right.
do a pipe. You're the master at that.
I'm the pipe girl here. I mean, in this industry, when you work in it, you smoke a little bit of everything. So in the mornings, I love a good aromatic tobacco. So what I was smoking just a couple minutes ago was a wonderful one called Autumn Evening. It has some maple syrup in it, so it goes perfectly in the morning with, like, some coffee. This is like breakfast in tobacco
yeah.
form. But, like, in the evening, I love a good English blend. It has some smokiness in it with a good aisle scotch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just perfect.
Now, the one thing I tell people before I let you go, I've spoken to people before, and they say, well, my grandfather used to smoke a cigar, and I tried, and it almost killed me. And I'm like, well, two rules. One, never inhale your
yeah.
cigar. And two, when you start smoking a cigar, you can't start with a real full cigar. You got to start with something a lot milder. So maybe if you could tell people, there are differences in cigars.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like I'm smoking the House Maduro's House cigar right now.
Awesome.
And there's so many different ways to enjoy a cigar.
Yeah.
You don't have to just go for the cigar that your grandfather
yeah.
smoked.
exactly. So, I mean, you have all your the main split is going to be either your flavored sweet ones or your regular cigars. And a lot of people actually love to start with the flavored ones. You have, like, your coffees and a bunch of other really awesome flavored cigars. But then on your regular cigar side, you have a really wide variety, especially in this day and age, with all of the brands you have out there. It just, well, when you come in, well, I'll ask me or Marty will ask you a couple things about the type of food you like. If you like spicy or more earthy, you know, there's something for everyone. And then the key is, I always say, I'll try any cigar twice. First time you tried it, you could have just, you know, had an empty stomach or been dehydrated and just not sat with you right. And so I always have a rule of thumb, I'll smoke anything twice.
Well, there you go. Well, this is your lucky day because, as usual, if you mention the Cave Shore PLR, you always get 10% off. But
right.
I'm going to send out a tweet as soon as the show ends, and the house cigar that I just smoked, if you come in and you buy any other cigar, speaking of Ron, I love how I can do this for Ron all the time. You buy any other cigar, he'll throw in the cigar that I smoked today.
Yeah.
So you buy one, and the Cave Show's getting you one. So best deal that you can get, and it's only for the first four people. So it's not like we're doing this for our life. We're only doing
right.
this for four. So you come in, you buy one, and you get that one. Notice, buy one, get one.
That's right.
First four people. So anyway, come on down and tell everyone again where you're at, and I'll listen to all the good stuff.
We are open every day, 10 a.m., except on Sundays, open at 11.
Kick off.
Major cross streets in South Chandler are Chandler Heights and Alma School. The number here is 408-83-8888. One number off of a discount of a cab company, so we get a lot of interesting calls sometimes.
That's cool. That is cool.
Again, Chandler and Alma School are going to be your main cross streets in South Chandler.
Well, there you go. You heard it. You heard it from me. You heard it from Gabby. You hear the noise in the background. That's because five at the one only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Big old family. Come on down.
Big on down. Thank you, Gabby. Thank you. I appreciate
thank
you
for having me.
For. And guess what, y'all? That's it. It is Friday. You can now start to weekend. Thank you for coming to the and I appreciate you having a good time long ride. I gave you good benefits. I gave you fun enough for my husband Dave. I gave you food for God. All I've been doing is giving. Follow us on social media. And support Facebook is over today. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, fan page. Look2.com. I was just saying, a lot of good articles are there. And you can go to a PLR on Twitter. Until Monday, everyone have a great day. Actually, and they say that until Tuesday, Monday is Veterans Day. We will be off. We will have a special show on. Until Tuesday, everyone have a good weekend. This is CLR, the K-Show.
Every day.